It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings and a very special show. Coming up in this hour, a music icon from the 60s, a guy who's one of the original idols. He's been on American Bandstand, appeared in films, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. The one and only Freddie Boom Boom Cannon will join us right here on Border Crossings this hour. So hang around for a blast from the past. Freddie Cannon coming up on today's Border Crossings. We got Freddie Cannon on the phone with us right now, and I'm talking to you where? I think you're in New Jersey or Massachusetts. Where are you?
Nope. I'm out in California. I live out here in between the Ventura and Oxnard, California, north of Los Angeles.
Well, it's great to be able to have you on the show, and congratulations on what's been a wonderful career for you. And I got a bunch of questions that I want to go down here and talk to you a little bit about the past, because you were certainly a large part of music history and the development and the evolution of rock and roll. Now, when you first started, somebody decided you're going to be called Freddie Cannon, and then it became Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. What's the story behind the name Freddie Cannon?
Well, the name Freddie, first I had a band in Boston. I come from Boston, around Boston, Massachusetts. My father had a band called Freddie Carmen and his orchestra. He had a little four-piece band that he played at weddings and different things. So I took Freddie Carmen. Now, when I signed with Swan Records, they didn't like Carmen, so they changed it to Cannon. And then the Boom Boom came from the radio disc jockeys in Boston. They were giving me these nicknames. They were calling me Freddie Cannon Shot from Guns, Freddie Peter Gunn's daddy, Freddie Cannon. And then they said Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. It stuck. So everybody started saying it, and then it just stayed with me.
Now, some of the things that you've done prior to becoming a rock and roll superstar, you were in the National Guard, I read.
Yes, I was. You're right. Wow, nobody ever asked me that.
Well, there you go.
I was in the National Guard for 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, out of Lynn, Massachusetts, because that's where I was born, in Lynn, raised in Revere. And I was in the 101st Engineers. In Lynn, Massachusetts.
Well, we're broadcasting to a large audience that includes the military. Some of the troops tune in to the Voice of America around the world, who are stationed in different places. So, there's a homegrown boy right here on the phone talking with us right now. Now, one of the other things I noticed that you were a truck driver for a little while.
Right. I drove a truck for a mattress company. that was a little bit hilarious. I drove a mattress and I delivered them to Maine and New Hampshire and everything, and then one day I drove up to New Hampshire and hit a bridge, and the mattresses all came off the top of the truck onto the highway, and that job ended. So and then we went to another job, and I drove a little pickup truck delivering paint. Now, that's when my first record, when I was working for this paint store that would deliver paint to different other. It was like a wholesale place, and a distributor, and I would deliver it to different stores. And that's when the music business really started for me, when I was doing that job.
But you were writing songs at that time? You were singing in the truck while you were driving, I'm sure, and you were, you know, a big fan of rock and roll.
I'm feeling really good because I always want to say this, because my mom wrote the lyrics for Tallahassee Lassie.
Wow.
And I put the music to it. That's our first record I ever had that really, you know, hit the charts and did well for me. And she's not with me anymore, but I always like to bring her up, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be talking to you. And, you know, this has been like almost 59 to 60 years doing this. So it's been a long time, and I'm loving my mom for what she did. And I put the music to her lyrics, which she wrote a poem, and became Tallahassee Lassie.
Did she write anything else with you? I mean, was this...
No, just that one. Mm-hmm. But it was enough to get everything going that the label in Philadelphia, Swan Records, wanted to put it out, and what they did, and I was still driving that truck, and little did I know, at first, when I first heard this, they sent me a box of these records, you know, 45s, and I listened to it, and I didn't like it, but my mom said, I think you got to have a record here, and I, for a mother to have ears mm-hmm. to hear a song, you know, even though she knows she wrote the words, she was all excited, and lo and behold, that the radio stations in Boston just went crazy with the record, mm-hmm. and you know the rest, what happened.
Sure, sure. And it's kind of interesting because you wouldn't think of a mom writing a rock and roll record, because, you know, that rock and roll was kind of rebellious when it first became big, and people were listening to Pat Boone and Andy Williams and things like that. And so then all of a sudden...
You're right, Larry. That's true. The thing is with her, she was always on top of things. She loved... the kids, she liked the young stuff that was going on. That's the kind of a mom I had. She was like right on top of everything. I mean, mm-hmm. she did just about anything and everything to promote me. She pushed me like crazy. She would go to the record stores and ask for my records, and she would do everything. So I was very lucky to have her as a mom. So I love her and I miss her, you know.
Sure, sure. And, you know, great moms are, you know, we all are here because of our great moms.
Dropping to the drag, the cha-cha rag.
site.
Now, we got a few things in common. First of all, you know, I know we worked together when I was working in Detroit radio, playing oldies and playing your music all the time.
Right.
But there's a couple things you didn't know about me. First of all, I used to live in Boston. I lived in Framingham, and I worked at Wimex, which was one of the stations that started playing your song back in the late 50s, early 60s.
That's right.
With the Woo Woo Ginsberger.
I remember. Now, were you on at night, Larry, or were you in the daytime?
I was on in the middle of the day. I was on right smack in the middle, 10 to 2.
10 to 2, okay. There was Dan Donovan there. Was he there?
Yes.
Mel Miller?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, remember all his names?
Sure. Woo Woo Ginsberg.
Donnie Woo Woo came on there, yep.
Yep, yep.
And so I'm going to say this to you, since you just talked to me, doing this interview, is I want to thank you. You can, you know, edit whatever you want, but I want to thank you for being part of that group because you guys helped Freddie Cannon. I'll never forget that. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, of course, you gave us the music to play because without you, we wouldn't have had anything to play. So.
Yeah, but you got to look. No, I look at it this way, Larry, the opposite. You had a lot of different records to play. You didn't have to play mine. You know, you could have played anybody, but you picked the ones that you thought were good enough or good hits or whatever. And so that's why I thank you. Well, I mean, really, that's where it really should be. It shouldn't be that always that the artist gave you the music. There's thousands of artists, and there's thousands of records, and there's thousands of songs. You may happen to be lucky to pick the right one, which was mine, and it just took off.
Well, on behalf of all the rock and roll lovers all around the world, myself included, we thank you as well for giving us the great music to play.
Okay.
Now, here's something else that we've got in common. We both know Dick Clark, at least the great deceased Dick Clark. I used to work for him in Los Angeles. I know he was instrumental in your career as well.
Right.
And so why don't you tell our audience who he was, because they may not know Dick Clark, and how he played a role in developing your career.
Well, Dick got this television show. He inherited the show, actually, from a guy named Bob Horn out of Philadelphia. It was a local bandstand. It was called Bandstand in Philadelphia. And I think that this Bob Horn, who had the show, got in some trouble or something, and they couldn't do the show anymore. So they asked him, Dick Clark, to fill in. He was working at this WFIL in Philadelphia, to fill in for a couple of weeks until they found somebody new. Well, they put him on the air. This is a story I know from being at Swan Records. He got on the air, and all of a sudden, the kids were sending letters and everything else. And, you know, who's this guy? He was good looking, and he was young, and he was nice, you know, not compared to the other guy. So they all went crazy, and they, little by little, they kept him there, and the show started getting busier and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon, ABC Television picked it up, and it became American Bandstand. And from there, this guy is like, if you got on this television, let's put it this way. If I got on this television show with a record, and the record was, you know, a decent record, and he thought it was good, you could sell 100,000 copies of that record, no problem, over a weekend, just being on that television show. You certainly needed all the radio stations to go with it. I mean, it wasn't just him. You had to have radio, because if you didn't have the radio with it, it wouldn't work. But since the radio, I had the radio, and then I did his show, it just went haywire.
Wow. And I know that you have a record associated with being on his show. I read 110 times?
110 times I've been on Larry.
Wow.
110 times. Singing most of the time, singing the same, you know, record over again, like Tallahassee 3 or 4 times, Palisades Park maybe 7 or 8, 10 times. You know, what happened was how I got to do that show so much is when the other artists couldn't make it. Let's say there was someone had to fly in from somewhere and the weather was bad, I'd get the call because I was living in Philadelphia then.
Mm-hmm.
We were from Boston to Philadelphia, and I lived there for 2 years. I would get called to come over to the, can you fill in, Freddie? And I wouldn't say no. Why would I say no?
Right.
And I'd come over and do the show, bang. That would happen many times.
Hmm. Wow, that's fantastic. Just looking at your collection of hits, you had, I guess you were at the time, in 1959, you were the only artist to have 22 songs get onto the Billboard charts. Which
right.
was kind of that's
I was really, really lucky, Larry. You know, and like I said, thanks to you and all radio people across the country who helped me through those years. 59 was really good to get me started, and I did. I was lucky, and I call it luck. You know, I worked hard at it. I loved it. I love music, and I like writing. You know, I'm still doing that,
mm-hmm.
and so it all goes together. And it, you know, people say, "Well, did you go to school for that?" I said, "No." It's if you have it, it's in you. You know, if you want it and you have the drive to do it, it's like you. You have the drive to be on radio, and you love what you do, and that's what I do. I love what I do.
Well, that helps. It to go is a long way when you love what you're doing.
Right.
And
right.
You've been on television shows. You were on Never Too Young, and you were in a film, Village of the Giants, one of several films that you've been in. So you've done a lot of different things throughout your career. If you look back, do you have a highlight?
My highlight, and it relates to the song that maybe in a while we'll talk about.
Sure.
My highlight was working with Chuck Berry, who I know through all over this world and all the countries that are going to hear this. Chuck Berry's name will be recognized right away. Everybody will know him, from little kids to grown-up people. When I first worked with Chuck Berry, first of all, I went to see him in 1956 at the Boston Gardens with now my wife. I was dating Jeanette, who was my wife. We went to see him in a big rock and roll show. And when I saw him on the stage, he was closed the show. The people were dancing in the aisles. I said, if I could ever do anything in music, I want to be like this guy. I want to do, because he just, I don't know what it was. It was magnetism, what he did. And that's when he was in his prime, and he was just starting. He had Maybelline out. He was just going. That's the highlight of my career, because, first of all, I got to work with him, I don't know how many times, maybe 50, 60 times.
Wow.
Around the country at different shows. I always stood at the stage and watched him, because when you watch somebody that good, a legend that knew how to control the audience and capture them on stage, he could do it every time. There's no act I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen everybody, even the ones that had, like, now Michael Jackson was great, and you know, you can go down the line of the new ones and then the old ones, but Chuck Berry, being the very first, you know, he did something that the other acts could not do. He could play the guitar. He sang. He wrote all the hit songs that he did. He wrote them all. Sang, danced. He did everything at one time on stage. Where do you find an act like that? Nobody.
Right. Doesn't happen anymore. What's the name of the?
Doesn't happen anymore.
What's
Larry?
The name of the new song?
That's my highlight, because I know he's up there probably looking down, and I'm talking about him. But I know there's lots of artists that loved him. You know, liked his songs and covered him and everything.
So. Oh, he influenced so many people in so many ways. What's the name of the new song?
It's called Hail, Hail to Rock and Roll, and it's all about him.
All right, let's listen to it.
Duck walk.
All right, that's Freddie Boom Boom Cannon and Hail Hail to Rock and Roll, a tribute to Chuck Berry. Now, I work with Chuck myself.
Yeah.
Very interesting guy. He would want to get paid before he went on stage. He'd want the money in cash in a suitcase, and he'd sit in his car and count it.
Yeah, he had a lot of negative stories. I mean, I'm looking at the positive side.
Sure.
I know all the negative stories too, and I've been there and saw some of these stories while I was working with him. So, I won't get into them, but I know a lot of them. But the thing is that the positive part side of it is that he was a great artist on stage with a great songwriter and all that stuff. That's why I only talk about that. But I know all the stuff you're saying. He wanted his money, and he had to have a certain amplifier for his guitar.
Right.
There was all kinds of things. If he didn't get it, then he wouldn't go on.
And he was very simple and unceremonious. Because I know I worked with him, and I was in the middle of this big introduction on stage, and he just walked out, plugged into his amp. He didn't care.
He didn't care. He did his show, and when he would capture the crowd right away. I mean, there's nobody like this. I'm telling you this guy will never be forgotten in England. Artists love this guy. They all talk about him, the Rolling Stones and this one and the Beatles and that. Nobody covered these records, but they all covered Chuck Berry.
Right.
Everybody covers Chuck Berry songs. Everybody, including me.
Oh, yes.
So, what can I say?
It was a great loss. It was like 90-something years old. He was working on a new album, too, as a matter of fact.
But, that's right.
And I know he always lived in St. Louis, and I remember watching a documentary on TV where he was working with the Rolling Stones at his home studio. They came to the house to do some stuff. But we're talking with Freddie Boom Boom Cannon on the phone, and you've had so many hits. And in recent years, I know you put out Let's Put the Fun Back in Rock and Roll. You put out The Socks Are Rockin'. For your hometown in Boston, you had Sven Gulli Stomp, which is for a TV character.
That's funny. You stop right there, and I'll tell you that. I think in this day of my era, the era that I'm in the late 50s, mid to late 50s, early 60s, no one has a video. I'm the only one. I'm the luckiest one of all. Have a video with Sven Gulli, which is a TV show out of Chicago, which is on MeTV, which is the cable company, the cable thing, MeTV. And I don't know if you've seen it or you get it where you are.
No, we don't have that here.
Yeah, and he did a video, and we did a video together. And for me, that's an honor. I don't know how the record keeps selling every once in a while. It sells. It's on vinyl, and it's also on iTunes. But what happens is that he plays the tape video, and he got everybody in this video. It's like a funny video. He's got Lou Ferrigno, Penn and Teller. He's got all these people in this video, and they stomp on these chickens because he's a host of a horror show, on Saturday night.
Sure, sure.
So it was a thrill to do this. I wrote this thing just because I watched him, and my wife said to me, why don't you write a song about him? And I went into my computer room and got my guitar, and I decided that what can I write about? I don't know what I'm gonna. I said maybe I'll write something like a dance thing called a stomp or something. The Sven Gulli Stomp came to me, and I started writing this thing, and it's all about him and the show. And we'll see what happens. It keeps on going. Every Halloween you might hear it again.
That's right. You're right out there with Bobby Boris Pickett and all those guys.
Right.
So tell me, Freddie, at this part of your life and your career, you're slowing down, or are you still keeping on rocking and rolling and doing shows all throughout?
I'm still doing shows, Larry, keeping busy. I do a lot of cruises now with a band out of Florida called Rocky and the Rollers. And we do cruises in Caribbean, Alaska, and then I do some live shows. I'm keeping pretty busy. I'm doing pretty good, and I think it's better to be active.
Things. Absolutely. Did you ever work with Elvis?
What's that?
Did you ever work with Elvis?
No, never worked with Elvis, Larry. No, I met him several times. Over the years, maybe 3-4 times, and to me, he was a wonderful guy. Just a great guy. I mean, everybody has a story, a bad story or something about somebody in this business. I can't say that about anybody I met. The only reason is because, one artist to another, everybody seems to be we get along. We're all friends, you know.
Right.
So I if somebody says something bad about somebody, I can't say, I'm going to say, you know, I don't know where you were with him or who you were with her or whatever.
Right.
But it doesn't work with me because they seem to be nice to me. And I can't say anything bad, you know.
That's very nice. That's very commendable. Now, you know, you used to be a part of an era that had the rock and roll revival shows and the review shows, and there'd be 5, 6, 10 acts on a bill. And these days, you don't see that. They've got one show, one guy, you know, Justin Bieber or whoever it might be in concert. That's what people are coming out to see. Now, who were some of the favorite people you used to work with over the years?
Well, like I said, Chuck Berry, I worked with him a lot.
Yes.
I worked with Bo Diddley, the Shirelles. The Drifters, the Coasters.
Wow.
You know, I worked, if you notice, Larry, because of my type of music, you know, my music is real rock and roll music. I think it's probably Tallahassee Lassie is like a garage record.
Right.
You know, it's like the grunge, you know, like the up in Seattle, the grunge type music.
Sure.
If you listen to that, it's that type, that's that early part of before that grunge even came in. So it was fun for me, and I learned. It was a good schooling for me.
Mm-hmm. And now you've been a part of all of the different changes throughout music. And if you go back, you know, when you started, everybody wore a suit. Everybody was dressed up. Everybody was classy looking. Now they come out with sweatshirts and T-shirts and things like that. So
right.
I want to get, what do you think of today's music? When you listen to today's music, you know, you paved the way. It was because of guys like you that we have the artists we have today. So when you hear today's music, what comes to mind?
Well, I think, you know, I think the music, you know, the kids out there who buy off of iTunes or if they're still selling CDs, I don't know, you know, for CDs, I know vinyl is out there. I can't criticize it because, first of all, I look at it this way. When a young person buys a record, there's something in that song that hits them, that they like.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they buy it. There's got to be something, a hook or something that grabs. There's reasons why those records make it. They're either great songs, and they sing them great, and there's something in there that the kid likes.
Mm.
So I can't judge it. I don't want to be a judge on that stuff.
Now, if you had a choice between getting into music nowadays, let's say if you're a teenager, 20 years old today, or when you were starting, do you have an era you'd rather be starting off in?
I think I'd rather be starting off in the mid to late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm more in that rock era than I am in the like you said, the bubblegum,
right,
the teenage idol thing. I didn't think I belonged in that era.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I'm lucky. I did good and everything. Thank God for that. But I think I would have probably liked to have been in the mid to late 60s with my kind of songs and records. I think they would have, I would have done, you know, I would have been, that would have been good for me. That's
mm-hmm.
all I can say.
And how about a book? Is there any chance of you coming out with a book about your career? Because you certainly have a lot of stories to tell.
I have the book out already.
You do?
It's been out for about a year and a half now.
Well, there you go.
It's called Where the Action Is.
Wow.
Right from the record of the song, Action.
All right.
Yeah. So that's out there, yeah.
All right, so then if they want to do a movie, and they want to make a movie of the Freddie Cannon story, who do you want to play Freddie Cannon?
Larry London.
Oh, you're funny. Not if you heard me sing. You wouldn't want that.
I knew that would get you. You're going to have to tape this whole thing and edit it all. Oh, God. No, I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
I don't, that would never happen. But if I,
you never
if
know.
I'm getting serious about it, I don't know. Who would
well,
do
some
a
people
good
would
job
say Leonardo DiCaprio
it.
And, you know, the good looking young type actors that, you know, so because handsome guy, you know, you were lucky you were at a time when it was fun. Rock and roll was fun to make and it wasn't such a big business. Today it's a business.
Yeah.
And
you know what I want to tell you though, Larry, I think, you know, Benny from Detroit, you know, Benny.
Sure.
He's got a big heart.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, you know, what I do for this guy. I can't do anything for him. He plays little clubs around Detroit.
Right,
and he has a little band, and he likes to play. And at the time we played together, he backed me up on a few shows way back when.
Right.
And I just wanted to mention his name because, you know, I remember people. You know, I don't want to forget people like me and who want to help me and who want to, you know, I can't do that. Benny's a nice, a wonderful guy.
But, right? You know, it's been a pleasure to meet you again and to talk to you again, because I know we did work together when I was at Honey Radio in Detroit a number of years ago.
Right.
And so it's a thrill to be able to play your music and to hear a little bit about what's going on in your life and your career, and also to play the new song, Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, your tribute to the late Chuck Berry. So thank you very much, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, for joining us on The Voice of America.
Larry, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I hope maybe one day I can see you soon. I know you're in Washington, right?
Yes, Washington, D.C. Please stop
by. One
day
we'll cross paths, and I'll see you again. But thanks so much. Okay. All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Freddie. Take care. All the best to you.
I will. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Freddie Cannon, for being on today's show. I'm Larry London, and back to requests for just a bit. We've got a song request from Todd, who's listening to the program. Todd Johnson is a new listener. He wrote in and said that, "I was introduced to your show by one of my best friends, and I love your show. And my friend's name is Yvonne. I want to say how thankful I am. She's in my life. She's got a good heart, and she's a selfless person. And she's helped me through a lot of bad times. I want to play a song from Ed Sheeran called Perfect. And I want her to know that I will love her no matter what happens between us." Todd Johnson, here's your dedication to Yvonne. Perfect on Border Crossings.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. Well, I found a girl. Beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time. But darling, just kiss me. Your heart is all I own, and in your eyes, you're holding mine. Baby, I'm dancing in the dark with you between my arms, barefoot on the grass, listening to our favorite song. When you said you looked a mess, I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it, darling, you look perfect tonight. Well, I found a woman stronger than anyone I know. She shares my dreams, I hope that someday I'll share her home. I found a love to carry more than just my secrets, to carry love, to carry children of our own.
Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
All that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts a feeling I get when I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts I have seen rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand looking. Thank you.
And that was one of the all-time classic rock hits from Led Zeppelin. It's called Stairway to Heaven, a request from Ian. My name's Larry London. Border Crossings plays requests and dedications. And like Ian, all you have to do is call 202-619-2077. Or you can also write, like Jan from Holland, to Border Crossings in care of the Voice of America, Washington, D.C. 20237. You can also email bordercrossings@voa.gov or go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London.
Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip?
Yo.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbity choke. He's so mad, but he won't give up. His whole back's at his ropes. It don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home. That's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't pass.
You better
lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music the moment. Taking, make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring, but superstardom's close to postmortem. It only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over. These losses all on him. Coast to coast shows, he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely roads, God only knows. He's grown farther from home, he's no father. He goes home and barely knows his own daughter. But hold your nose, cause here goes the cold water. These losses don't want him no more. He's cold product. They move.
And that's Eminem, Lose Yourself, a request from Reem Al-Khatan, who's a listener of Border Crossings And I love those listeners. And I want to invite you to send in your videos. If you are listening in a part of the world, I want to let everybody know about it. Send me a 30-second video of your city where you live, and you can email it, only 30 seconds long, please, to bordercrossings@voa.gov. Please email those videos, and I will post them on the Facebook page and let everybody know where you're tuned in. Jan is listening in Holland, and coming up on Border Crossings in a couple of weeks, Jan, we're going to have Ricky Nelson's sons, Matthew and Gunnar Nelson, and they will be joining us on Border Crossings. We'll hear from Ricky's two sons and hear about their music career. But first, Ricky Nelson himself, Poor Little Fool, on Border Crossings.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
Poor little fool, I was a fool all night.
She'd play around and tease me with her carefree devil eyes. She'd hold me close and kiss me, but her heart was full of lies. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool, she cared for me, and that we'd never part. And so for the very first time, I gave away my heart. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
Poor little fool, I was a fool, oh yeah.
The next day she was gone, and I knew she lied to me. She left me with a broken heart, won her victory. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
Poor little fool, I was a fool, oh yeah.
Well, I played this game with other hearts, but I never thought I'd see the day when someone else would play love's foolish game with me. Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
Poor little fool, I was a fool, oh yeah.
Poor little fool, oh yeah, I was a fool,
Poor little fool,
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank Wagner Engineer, Vince, our director. I want to thank Freddie Cannon for being on our program today. And thank you for listening to Border Crossings. We shall be back real soon with more requests and dedications. And you can join us at Facebook.com/VOA. Larry London, let us know what you want to hear. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great night. Border Crossings returns again tomorrow on the VOA1 Music Network.